today I'll be continuing our series in Christ Alone, and we've been looking at Jesus. He's the center for our faith. He's our access to God. He's the one that we unite around. He's the one where our faith is upon. When there's so many things in life that can pull on us and tug on us, the focus is just a reminder that in Christ alone, really, that's where we find our hope and our joy, our salvation, our unity, our strength, and that we want to gather together around Jesus. And that's what we're doing this morning. This morning's message I entitled Jesus, Our Shepherd. And I wanted to look at Jesus from the shepherding perspective and in three big areas, that Jesus knows his sheep, Jesus cares for his sheep, and Jesus searches after lost sheep. When I was around 20, probably I think like 21, 22 years old, I had an opportunity to lead a Bible study at an assisted living home in Massachusetts, and it was very meaningful for me because my grandmother was in this assisted living home, and I just so enjoyed, it's actually one of the highlights of my week, was just to be able to do a Bible study together. We would sing hymns together, and it was just a really powerful time. And a scripture that always kept coming back to me was Psalm 23, which many of us know this, but the one point that would always stay with me is that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when you're going through a difficult time, whether it's health issues, and a lot of those in the assisted living home, they had a lot of health issues. There's those also who were near the end of life, and so just the struggles they were facing, to know that the Lord is your shepherd, that he is with you, there's great comfort in knowing that. Amen? Great comfort. I remember just sharing that, and just a joy being able to share that with my grandmother before she passed away, and I was just remembering, like, wow, God, you are the shepherd. You're with us in every season. The mountaintop seasons, the valley seasons, he promises to be there guiding, correcting us, caring for us. So the first place I want to look at this morning, talking about Jesus being our shepherd, is in John 10. So if you have a Bible with you, if you want to open it or you can turn it on, or if you're at home, feel free to look along if you like. I'll also be reading it, so you can just listen as well. But we'll be looking at John chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at specifically verses 1 to 19. Where Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd. So feel free to take a moment to turn there or turn on device, and that's John chapter 10, verses 1 to 19. So Jesus said this. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. God, thank you how it speaks to us even now. And God, I pray that you would encourage us, correct us, do whatever you want, God. God, may we be submitted to your will being accomplished this morning. And God, thank you that you are this good shepherd. God, help us to know you, not just by reading about you, but knowing you personally today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus knows his sheep. I was thinking about trying to talk to a shepherd this week. That didn't happen, but I'm sure maybe some up here have sheep, or you probably know people have sheep. But from what I was studying, so I never owned sheep before, but it seems like sheep are pretty, like, not the smartest animals in the pack, so to speak, right? It kind of can be a little, maybe, I don't know, you could use the word dumb, but kind of just doing their own thing, and there's a shepherd that wants to care for them. In this setting, specifically, it was actually very common to have a shepherd that would care for the sheep, and at night, they would either get to, like, either some type of, like, circular bush mount, like, surrounding, or maybe, like, a cave or something where they could protect the sheep, the shepherd could, and oftentimes, the shepherd would sleep right in the entrance to that enclosure, or maybe that, maybe there's thorns or bushes or whatever, and would protect the sheep. So Jesus is using the illustration that we, the people, are the sheep, and he is the shepherd. And he knows the sheep, and that's the first thing I want to talk about for a moment. He knows the sheep. It says he knows them, but not only that, but the sheep know him, and they know his voice. Jesus compares himself to a hired hand, or someone whose the sheep was never of interest to be cared for. When the wolf came and a challenge came, the hired hand decided, hey, I'm heading out. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm looking out for me. Where a shepherd, in this case, the good shepherd, Jesus, would lay down his life for the sheep and would protect them at all costs. Jesus knows his sheep, and he's a good shepherd. I love the part of this passage where it talks about the end, where Jesus is talking about that he has the power to lay down his life, and maybe some of you caught this as well, and to bring it up again or raise it up again. When we come into difficulties or challenges, and there's challenges even in this parable illustration of Jesus with the sheep, it's great to know that we have a God who is greater than our challenges. He's greater than our enemy. There's one that comes to kill and to steal and destroy. Jesus says he's come to give life and life abundantly. It may have looked like when you read scripture that the devil himself, who's ultimately the greatest thief, looks like he had a victory on Jesus on the cross, right? He's like he got one of his own people to betray him, one of his close friends. He got crucified by the people he came to save. From the devil's perspective, I'm sure it looked like, yeah, it's like I've taken out this shepherd, so to speak. But if you read this text, this is before Jesus died. Jesus said, I laid down my life. His life wasn't stolen from him. His life wasn't taken from him. He purposely laid down his life for his sheep. He's that kind of shepherd. He knows his sheep. He cares for them. But he also says, I also have the power to raise him, essentially from the dead later on. Jesus cares for his sheep. He knows his sheep. But he also has the power over our enemy, who oftentimes likes to whisper things to us that aren't true. One of the titles for the devil himself is that he's the father of lies. You have sheep that are listening to the voice of the shepherd, and they follow the shepherd. But sometimes we can listen to the wrong voice. You have ever done this before? The wrong influence, the wrong things in our head. The shepherd is whispering love and encouragement, correction. Jesus is like, come, follow me. Come with me. Go this way. This is for your best interest. And sometimes we can just listen to either sometimes our own thoughts or even the enemy himself who's just trying to kind of sow in these thoughts of doubt. And does God really have your best interests in mind? Does God really care for what's going on in your circumstances? Is he really that great of a shepherd? You're going through something challenging. And we know these are lies, but in the moment, sometimes we can buy into these lies. This past week, I had the privilege, it was really fun actually, I got to do this online hope chat thing with my mom, Donna Holt, and it was really fun, and it's really good. You can check it out if you haven't watched it. It was about on strategies for resilience, and she talked about some things when it comes to the battle of the mind, which I really like. She mentioned that sometimes we can let things get into our mind that shouldn't be there, and she was quoting another author who was mentioning that sometimes we can encounter ants, and I thought that was funny because I thought she was talking about ants. But it's actually an acronym, which is it's automatic negative thoughts that sometimes come into our mind, encountering these ants, so to speak, with God's word, or in this case, the shepherd's word. What does Jesus say to me? What does Jesus have said to me? What does his word say to me? Is this the way I filter things through, or am I just taking in anything that comes in and letting it have a place in my mind and a seat on my heart? Jesus made it clear that he knows his sheep and they know him, and they follow his voice. Are we following Christ's voice today? Now, Jesus, he's mentioned here saying, I am the good shepherd. But in the Old Testament, like I mentioned in Psalm 23, you see that the Lord is also the shepherd. In Old Testament prophecy in Ezekiel 34, it was shown that Jesus would be this kind of shepherd, that God would be the one that would care well and love well. He would know his sheep, but he would care for them. That's the second thing I want to look at is Jesus cares for his sheep. And this is Ezekiel 34. And I want to look at a couple, verse 1 to 4 summary, and then 11 to 16. So Ezekiel 34, it talks about how the shepherds, specifically the leaders of Israel, were doing a really poor job. They were not caring for the people like Jesus does. And specifically, here's some of the things that they were getting into, doing or not doing. And I just entitled this self-shepherding versus Christ-shepherding. So in verses 1 to 4, here's some self-shepherding. These are leaders who are self-shepherding, meaning they're more focused on themselves than they are caring for sheep. So Ezekiel says this. It says, these are shepherds who feed themselves and not the sheep. They do not strengthen the weak. The sick they have not healed. The injured they have not bound up. The strayed they have not brought back. The lost they have not sought after. And then they rule the sheep with force and harshness. I'm so thankful that that's not the kind of shepherding technique God uses. Amen? Right? He is not that. In verse 11 to 16, it shows of what God is as a shepherd in really a prophetic sense of how Jesus would fulfill this. In verse 11, it says, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. These shepherds have not been doing it, lowercase s, but the shepherd is going to go seek them out. Verse 12, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that has been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a days of cloud and thick darkness. And I will bring out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountain of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall there be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. And on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the stray. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. And the fat of the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Man, what a great God we serve, right? Here's these shepherds. They are not going after or caring for the leaders of Israel. So they're not caring the way they should. And in the New Testament, you'll actually see the word shepherd actually works in the Greek, the same word with pastor or also elder or also bishop. It can be used in different ways and whatever. But this idea of caring, right, as a shepherd. There's definitely shepherds and leaders in the Old Testament, even today, that they're self-focused. Their gain is themselves. And just like the first one, shepherds are supposed to feed the sheep, but self-centering shepherds, say that a couple times fast, they feed themselves and not the sheep. I'm really thankful to serve on a team in this past couple of years with other elder pastors, shepherds, you could say, with Glenn and with Scott and also John. And I could really talk about each one of them, about their heartbeat. They really love people. I'm sure most of you know that. They really do love people. You can tell a lot how much people care for others by the way they pray and then how they follow up on that. And I've just seen that as a younger pastor, shepherd. I've seen that and learning just how much they really do care. But one person I want to highlight who's currently on his sabbatical is John Aul. And John, you might be watching this at home with Jane. But he's really, I think, not to say any of us are perfect, but I think he's done a really good job caring for people. Amen? I think so. When I look at the list of all the things that are not, I think of John as doing all of them in his heart, right? He truly does care for people. He's all about strengthening the weak. He's looking to pray, and he has so many testimonies of praying for the sick and seeing God heal them. He's looking at helping those who are injured, specifically in the area of addiction and drugs, to see them come out into a place of freedom. He goes after those that sometimes gather away from the church body, so to speak, and he's just like, how can I care for you? How can I love you? And he does it with grace and humility, not with a force or harshness. I wanted to use him as an example just to honor him, because that's quickly who I thought of when I was reading this. It's easy to maybe think of people who haven't done this, but when I thought of people who have done this, especially in a pastor sense, I was thinking of John. And so John, if you're watching, I just want to say, just really look up to you, honor you, the 9 years I've known you, just wow, you live this out. And I'm sure for those who've been here a little bit longer, maybe 10 years, 20, 30, 40, however long you've been here for, I'm sure you also could say amen to that, that John, you've really lived this out. So I want to give that as an example. So shepherd, pastoring, that's like with a small s, but really it's just sub-shepherding to the shepherd with a capital S. Jesus is the only one that's perfect. He's the only one that does this all the time, that he cares. He knows his sheep knows them, he cares for them, but he also goes after sheep. Because sheep can get into silly stuff. We can get into our own problems. We can go away. We can decide we want to do life without the shepherd, which is really silly when you say it that way. But if you have to be honest, we've all done it at some point. The shepherd, Jesus, is like, come this way. We're like, nope, I want to go another way. The great thing about Jesus, our shepherd, is that he will go after those who go astray. In Luke 15, 1-7, Jesus was having a conversation with some religious folks and also those who were deemed sinners, those who were the broken, the injured, the wounded, a lot of those that the leaders in the Old Testament were not caring for. That's who Jesus would hang out with. So verse 1, it said, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribe grumbled, saying, this is the religious folk. They said this about Jesus. This man receives sinners and eats with them. I just want to pause there. Isn't that kind of like a compliment, right? Jesus is hanging out with broken people, injured people, wounded people, addicted people, people who have messed up their lives, who destroyed it, maybe destroyed their family or their marriage, maybe their work thing, whatever. That's who Jesus hangs out with and has food with. I'm like, wow, Jesus, help me be more like that. And thank you, Jesus, for hanging out with someone like me. But the religious people got uptight about this, because the idea is like, you need to look good on the outside. You have to have the right prayer pattern. You have to look the right way. You have to do everything external, even though inside, oftentimes, Jesus would refer to them as whitewashed tombs. So verse 3 says this. Here's the parable. So he told them this parable, which is a God story. It says, what man of you having 100 sheep or 100 sheep, if he has lost one, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who needs no repentance. I'm like, wow, what an amazing God we serve. That he doesn't just care for the mass, like the large group, you know, maybe on the Sermon on the Mount when there's at least 5,000 men and then there's women and children added into that number total. When he's sharing his stuff, he cares for the large numbers because he cares for people, but he cares for the one, right? He cares for each one of us, each person here right now, for those on church online, watching the recording. He cares for you. He loves you. He's a caring shepherd that when sheep go astray, he'll want to go after them. Sometimes when we see people go astray, maybe getting a family member or a friend that maybe went off and did whatever, sometimes it can be easy to be like, you know what? Goodbye, right? See you later. Jesus is a good shepherd. He's like, I'm leaving the 99 here. I'm going after that one sheep who's hurting, that one that's astray, that one that is lost. I'm going to seek out after that sheep. So I was just reflecting on this. I was just thinking about as an encouragement, and I'm sure many of us have family members and friends who have yet to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm just looking at Jesus, our shepherd, and just his priorities, I guess I should say, is Jesus is always seeking after your family members and your friends way before you ever thought to seek after them. Are you with me this morning? Like, he's going after them. Like, whether you're sleeping, Jesus is still pursuing that family member, maybe that spouse or that child, that grandchild, maybe a mom and dad, aunt, uncle, co-worker. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he seeks after the lost. He prays, but he also puts his prayers into action. Jesus is a shepherd, and he will continue to go after every single person, longing for them to respond to his love. So a couple of thoughts as I'm wrapping up today on this idea of Jesus being our shepherd. Some reflection questions. I'd like to invite the musicians up at this time, just as we're getting ready. It says, the sheep knows their shepherd. That was in John 10. They follow their shepherd. And some thoughts that we could just consider as we're thinking about Jesus being our shepherd in a personal way. Do you and I, do we know the voice of Jesus? It says the sheep know the voice of Jesus, or the shepherd of Jesus, and then they follow the shepherd. So first voice, you hear, and then you follow. If you don't start with hearing Christ, even on a day-to-day level, how can we then follow Christ throughout our day? We really can't. Do you know the voice of Jesus? Is it an intimate way? Is it a distant way? Is it something like I've talked a long time ago? Are you following after Jesus if you do know the voice? And then are you being led by Christ, or are you running ahead of your own? I remember the first time someone framed that question that way was when I was at Eagle Bible Institute in college. One of the professors there, Stacy Klein, was saying, it's like it can be so easy in life and just doing our, you know, going through the day-to-day that sometimes we like to run ahead of the shepherd. And you'll notice a lot of the scriptures today actually focus on Jesus telling the sheep to lie down, right? Because sometimes we just want to charge into everything, but sometimes we can be charging ahead of the shepherd. But that's problematic, right? Because the shepherd is the one that knows best where the sheep should go. He knows when we should advance through the gate or out of the gate, when we need to lie down in green pastures, when it's actually time to get out of green pastures. Some of us can push very hard that we're not spending any time in green pastures, while all of us maybe are just hanging out in green pastures too long, right? Just kind of Jesus like, come on, let's get rolling. We got some places to go. Once again, are we listening to the voice? Are we being led by Christ? Are we running ahead of the shepherd, or are we being led by the shepherd? Meaning Christ is calling the shots. We're not. Sheep know the shepherd's voice. They follow the shepherd. Do you know the voice of Christ? Second thing is, Jesus cares greatly for those who are lost, those who have strayed, the injured, and the weak. And potentially those who are here today, also those watching online, I'm sure some of you are going through some difficult things right now, maybe challenges with health or family, relationally, financially. There's a lot of different things we can go through. Realize that Jesus greatly cares for what you're going through today. The pain, the sorrow, the hurt, whatever it is. I just realized, like, more and more doing ministry in life, that there's a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow that a lot of other people don't even know you're going through sometimes. And it's just like, I'm having the right conversations, you know, you're talking to people, and a lot of people send different prayer requests to me, and I just realized, wow, I did not know that person or that couple was having that kind of challenge. And I'm not God. God sees it all, so he actually knows everything you're going through. But I was like, wow, how many times have I walked by someone not thinking that maybe they're facing a challenge today that's so great, but they're just trying to keep it together with God's grace, that maybe they haven't let you in on that. Maybe you're in that place today. We're just like, there's some stuff going on real hard in the heart. I can put the right smile on. I can do the fellowship time with the right words probably. But if I had to be honest, there's some things that, Lord, I'm struggling with today. I'm having a hard time today. Well, I just want to let you know that we have a great shepherd who cares for those who are hurting. He cares for you who are injured or wounded. Maybe you're in a place of addiction this morning. You're like, nobody knows about it. I'm just stuck. We can't get out of an addiction on our own strength. We can't. Let none of us think that we are greater to figure out how to get out of sin without Jesus. That's called pride. But when we humble ourselves and realize, Jesus, I need you. I have this struggle that's going on in my life. No one else knows about it, but God does. And we yield to the Holy Spirit power working in our life. We can have steps to move out of that addiction. Steps to move out of sorrow, pain, and into hope and into joy. Let Christ work in your life. He's like the good shepherd just waiting for the sheep to let him carry him or her home. are you hurting today? Invite Jesus to work in your life. But also on the flip side, Jesus doesn't just call us just to always receive. He wants us to also share. And I love what Jill said in that children's message. Kind of like you're receiving that. And you, I think it was like bubbling up or some kind of wording like that. Kind of like overflowing. I love that picture, just that overflow. You receive from Christ. God, you're working healing in me, whatever. I see someone hurting. I'm going to offer healing that Jesus brings. I've been healed in that area, that addiction, that depression, that sadness, that broken relationship. Christ has done that in me. I want to offer that to someone I know today. And that idea of looking. So the question is, might there be people in your spheres of influence, your family, your friends, your coworkers, that God might want you to be that Christ presence? We can't do what Jesus does, but we sure can tell people about what Jesus does. Amen? We can't save them, so that just takes a lot of weight off of trying to save your children or your family members. But we can tell them that Jesus loves you so much. He's a good shepherd that will die for his sheep. Bad shepherds will have their sheep die for them. Good shepherds lay down their life for their sheep. That's what Jesus does and has done for us. Last thing is, Jesus goes after the lost sheep. Each person greatly matters to Christ. And if you have yet to give your life to Christ, to know this good shepherd, not just in like a theoretical way or someone talking about it on a screen or in person, but personally, you can know Christ today. You can invite Christ into your life. You can ask him, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. God, would you be my Savior? Forgive me of my sins. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all, like sheep, have gone astray. But the Good Shepherd has died for us, for our sins, that we might have new life. You can invite Christ wherever you are, right here today, online, the recording. Invite Jesus into your life. But also, we could share this invitation. And in this time when things are just so unknown, we got COVID stuff going on in our country, there's so many things going on. The invitation to get the gospel out, just because there's challenges in our life, doesn't detract from the mission that Jesus has given us to share the gospels with all nations. Amen? We still have a plan. We still have a purpose. We have a vision. Christ has given us a mandate. We can go after it today. Share the shepherd's heart with others that they can have this new life that you experience if you know Christ every single day. So I want to take a moment to pray, and we'll have a time for praise and just worship in response. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that you are that good shepherd. God, thank you that you lead us gently and kindly, correcting us and challenging us and wanting us to look more like you. And Lord, I just want to pray for those who are just, they're having a rough time right now. COVID's so hard, and maybe there's other stuff going on, and it's just struggling. God, I pray that they would receive your grace and your love. Like a good shepherd, you could just kindly care for them, bring healing where there's places of injury or hurt or sickness, God. Lord, I pray that they would be lifted up, carried upon your shoulders like a little lamb being brought from a place of darkness and place of danger to green pastures where that lamb can lay down or lie down safely, Lord. God, I pray for those who are just wearing that weight, whether it's externally known and they have a lot of people praying, or maybe they have yet to share it with anyone, and maybe they just shared it with you. God, I pray that you would just minister to those with those weight. And God, I just thank you that you're in the business of saving souls. You still are, God. I pray for our family members and friends who have yet to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you can think of anyone that doesn't know Christ in your family or friend, just you can say the name quietly to the Lord, but just lift up names quietly, just listening. Maybe there's a couple names that come to mind, or maybe you have a bunch of names, but Lord, we're trusting you with these names of individuals. Lord, I can think of family members in my life who don't know Christ yet. I can think of people in Potsdam I met don't know Christ yet. Lord, we just lift up these names, that they would know the love of the shepherd, the good shepherd that has died for them, that they might have life and life abundantly, both now and forevermore, God. Lord, thank you for the ways that you're working in our lives. Thank you for the ways you're working in this community, in this country, and around the world. God, thank you that your plans continue to be accomplished regardless of the challenges and the season we're in. God, your kingdom's coming, and Lord, we pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.